CM Punk and WWE set a new record for a WWE house show. I mean, it's at the MSG Arena, but, you know, that's still a huge deal. Goldberg, he is, you know, shooting his shot and shooting fires at Vince McMahon. I don't even know his status in WWE anymore, but I got news on that. I got news on Liv Morgan's arrest, her update on everything on that. And also got a couple of WWE re-signs. So let's hit that intro real quick. Thank you for joining me here on Pardon the Pipe Bomb. Knock at the gods, the dogs from my generation.
In anybody else's hands, this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb.
I have a dream, that's all I need. I'll make it happen with some work and belief. Know what I want.
And thank you all very much for joining me here on Pardon the Pipe Bomb. I hope you guys had a Merry Christmas. Me and my friends always joke about that, but we got a lot to uncover here. My absence, why I've been gone, but y'all don't care about that. But I'm back. I'm going to try to do this whole hobby thing, and hopefully you guys don't mind hearing my voice every now and then from, you know, maybe twice or three times a week. But we got some good and some, you know, some late news. I'm a bit late to the party, but I figured that, you know, let me ease my way back into the podcasting world and let me try to get, like, all the editing shit right. Let me try to get in my archive files of the Pardon the Pipe Bomb intro here. And let me try to get some dust off this microphone. Dude, I got to get a new microphone. That's for damn sure. But let's get to the big news, though, with WWE and them hosting a WWE house show, and that included CM Punk. And WWE and MSG, they set a new record for a house show, or even just outside the box of just not even talking about the Madison Square Garden here. WWE set a new record, and this is coming from internal reports per Fightful Select here. Tuesday night's WWE Holiday Tour house show event held at the Madison Square Garden featuring CM Punk was the highest grossing domestic non-televised WWE show of all time. The sold-out show saw Punk wrestling in a WWE ring for the first time since January 14th. Of, I believe, 2012, since, no, first time that he has wrestled since March of 2012, that's what I thought. And just a little intake on my put on it, you can definitely tell that there is some ring rust. There was a report out there also that people were making fun of his physique and how CM Punk was looking in just underwear, but I guess that's not what he's going to be always going to be wearing in the squared circle here. It's come off a couple reports here that CM Punk is waiting for his new wrestling gear. It didn't come in time for the house show at Madison Square Garden against Dominic Mysterio, so those were just some jobber underwear, and hopefully those were washed. That's for fucking sure. But if you watched it on Twitter or X, or if you watched it on YouTube, I know a couple people uploaded it. It was a short match, it was a short 10-minute match, and, you know, I'm not going to have my opinion on it just yet. I'm going to wait and see how it is. I'm going to wait and see what they do with Punk. Obviously, he, no matter what he does, he's going to be drawing money. Hell, that's why that Warner Brothers is shooting for a TV deal with Monday Night Raw and them possibly going to TNT or TBS. Who knows, but it could be good for both sides on that. But like I said, I watched it. I wasn't really impressed, but you got to remember CM Punk really hasn't been in a ring since he got fired from AEW. I still can't believe that CM Punk and WWE or Paul Levesque came to an agreement. But just like what Triple H said, it was a perfect storm brewing. And when both sides were, you know, at the right place at the right time, I guess. So again, huge deal for the house shows, because I know WWE, they really aren't really big on house shows anymore. They're saying that they want to cut back on a lot of house shows. Thank God they're still going to my hometown, Erie, Pennsylvania. I'm really considering on going to a house show because I've been to a house show in Erie and I've been to a televised show here in Pittsburgh. And let me tell you, a house show is 10 times better than a regular televised show. There's no commercial breaks. You don't got to sit back and wait. But there's nothing like going to a pay-per-view. And I did go to Payback, and my ex, she really wasn't a big fan of it. But, you know, shout out to you, Sherry. And in other news, Goldberg, he really was... I don't know why Goldberg is coming up in the news right now. Maybe he was being interviewed or on a podcast. I'm not really too sure. But he had a lot of not nice words to say about Vince McMahon. And how Vince McMahon didn't, give him a retirement match. Right here. During his interview with the Steve and Captain Evil podcast... Very interesting. Goldberg was asked about his relationship with Vince McMahon, and this led Goldberg to address the circumstances around his final WWE match in 2022, which I believe that was against Roman Reigns. This is what Bill Goldberg had to say, and I quote, "Vince is like Dana White. He is the big boss, and he makes everything happen. But in all honesty, he gave me the opportunity to put me to put my wife and my son in the front row and gave me the ability to perform again in front of them. So I owe him everything. Until we went to Saudi Arabia, and he asked me to put Roman Reigns over, and I had COVID. I remember calling him from my house here, and I said, listen, here's the deal. I'll do it if you give me a retirement match." So, end quote right there. Goldberg, he would go on to desecrate McMahon for not giving him the match in question, referring to him as a piece of shit as far as I am concerned. Now, I don't know what this means. Obviously, the relationship status with Bill Goldberg in WWE went down in flames. I mean... When he did come back and went up against Brock Lesnar, I thought it was a perfect one-off match. I thought it was a perfect, you know, best two out of three type of match deal, and then have Brock Lesnar come out on top and then have the end of that, have Bill Goldberg's retirement match with that. But, you know, I guess Vince McMahon had other... he was drinking the nostalgia Kool-Aid like everybody else was in WWE and just riding the wave with old-timers, and... He almost bit off his tongue when Bill Goldberg almost paralyzed fucking The Undertaker at one of the Saudi Arabia shows. I'll never forget it. I just remember watching that, and I had to go to work, and I remember just sitting there and just in awe of what I was actually witnessing in front of my television screen. I couldn't believe it, but I guess that's news for Bill Goldberg. So who knows? Maybe he'll show up in AEW. Maybe he'll show up in TNA Wrestling. And speaking of TNA wrestling, though, there is a couple surprisingly moves here on TNA wrestling. Who would have thought I've ever would have been talking about TNA wrestling on here? And this report is coming from WrestlingNews.co here with TNA. Recently, they just changed their name back to TNA Wrestling from Impact. I never really liked Impact Wrestling. So, them going back to TNA, I'm a huge fan of. I mean, hell, even if they're, you know, hosting their shows in gymnasiums in high schools, dude, their product is actually pretty fucking good, dude. Their storylines are better than AEW's. I can't believe that I'm fucking saying this, but even their championship level is better than AEW's. I mean, side note from MJF and the Devil storyline that they got going on there, but... Obviously, TNA's women's division is way better than AEW's division. So, sorry, I had to take a quick sip. Former WWE stars to make their TNA debut at Hard to Kill. Now, Hard to Kill is going to be the official debut of them burying the Impact name and bringing back TNA, Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, Hard to Kill. And apparently, they're going to be debuting brand new belts all in one night. new championship belts, new mid-card title belts, new tag team belts, new women's championship belts. It's all going to be different. And they're, from my belief, I guess that they're struggling to sell tickets at in Las Vegas. And, you know, really, Las Vegas isn't really a sports town. They're not really a wrestling town. They're just a party town. They're just a, you know, a big whore town. I don't want to say that, but I don't know what else to call it here in Las Vegas. TNA Wrestling is starting at Impact Wrestling's next pay-per-view event, Hard to Kill, on January 13th, 2024, at the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. I mean, the promotion has already confirmed that they have something big planned for the show and are on the goal of signing a big-name star. So TNA has also announced a new pair of talent signings, which I believe, oh my God, what brothers are they? Yes, it was announced today that the Grizzled Young Veterans, aka the Dyad, or, you know, Rip Fowler and Jagger Reed, will make their promotional debut at this upcoming event. So me, when I was watching NXT, I loved this tag team, and it was a shock as to everyone that they got released or something happened, but they're not a part of WWE NXT anymore. So them going to TNA, you know, I'm liking this signing because right now, if they were to go to AEW, I kind of like anyone else that goes to AEW right now. There's way too many people in the roster. They're becoming what WWE was a couple years back. They have so much talent. They don't know what to do with it. And I like that TNA did this signing. And on top of that, TNA Road to Kill, they have a like some killer matches, and that's going to be including their World Heavyweight Champion, Alex Shelley versus Moose for the X Division Championship belt. It's going to be Chris Sabin versus El Hijo, I believe. El Hijo del Vikingo? I'm like, what? I don't even know half these guys' names, but I've been watching it on YouTube, and like, you know, TNA, they're really making me want to watch their product, even if it's just on YouTube. I mean, they still got fucking Mickey James on there. I don't know how the hell she's still wrestling, but you know, TNA has got some potential to, dare I say, maybe even outdo AEW, because AEW, they actually went up to my hometown in Erie and they televised a AEW Rampage, I believe, or no, AEW Collision on Saturday. And man, you could tell that they were in a very small town. Those fans, yeah, they filled up the seats because, you know, in Erie, you know, we're never really on televised TV, so, you know, it was kind of a big deal. Everybody in town was talking about it, but you could just definitely tell that they were definitely starstruck. They didn't know what to do. I mean, coming from me that went to house shows in Erie and then coming down here to Pittsburgh, it's just a different atmosphere. But, you know, very excited to see what TNA Wrestling will become here in the future. Also, I really just want to get a quick update here on Liv Morgan's harsh, you know, arrest with her marijuana. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I really do not like this arrest. It really shocks me that Florida doesn't, you know, decriminalize medical or even just marijuana in general. I mean, here in Pennsylvania, we're surrounded by three different states that have it recreational use of marijuana in general. I mean, Pennsylvania has the medical like side of it all good to go. We're still waiting for it to become recreational, but I don't know. Ohio is legal. New York is legal. I believe Michigan's legal. I mean, dude, I don't know. PW Insider has obtained a copy of WWE superstar Liv Morgan's arrest report. Morgan, her real name, Gianna Daddio? Okay. All right. I mean, yeah, we're just learning this too. She was arrested. She's 29. 29? God damn, she looks good for 29. She was arrested back on December 14th in Sumter County, Florida, for possession of marijuana. In addition, though, PW Insider has provided some updated details on Morgan's upcoming court date, which is at the bottom right hand of the report here. And, you know, it looks like that it's going to be set in motion. I believe that WWE, they're really not going to, like, do anything about it. They might give her, like, a slap on the wrist for what she did, but I don't see them suspending her or anything that major for Liv Morgan or whatever her real name is. But like Morgan's statement at local law enforcement that the vape pen was not hers fits with the story that was making the rounds within WWE. Morgan, she's scheduled to be officially arraigned in Florida in February, and Morgan, she bonded out for $3,000 and was released the same day of her arrest at 10:04 p.m. So, you know, I don't think that anything bad is going to be happening to Liv Morgan. I mean, dude, if fucking Jimmy Uso or whatever, whatever his name is, if Jimmy can get away with having a third DUI, I think that, you know, WWE isn't really going to be doing anything to Liv Morgan for any kind of action, like, for that matter. I mean, there were talks that she was going to be possibly a favor to win the upcoming Royal Rumble here. But, you know, I have a new favorite that's going to be winning the Royal Rumble here. And her name is Zelina Vega. It is reported that she has resigned with WWE. And it is not just a one-year deal. It's a multi-year deal. So this is also, according to PW Insider, multiple sources have confirmed that Zelina Vega has come to terms on a new multi-year deal with WWE. Vega, she first signed with WWE back in 2017, and she returned to WWE in July of 2021. After the company had released her in November of 2020, she is currently a member of the LWO and the SmackDown brand. So, Vega is the latest to re-sign under TKO with WWE, and it's, you know, with TKO, they're setting up a new standard here. The company, they've recently, I believe that they re-signed Dominic and Rey Mysterio. They just re-signed Charlotte Flair. I'm not a big fan of, but, you know, Charlotte Flair is like, you know, for in the women's division, when you hear Flair, you just think of dollar bill signs. Cody Rhodes and Bayley, they also got like new deals. So TKO, well, WWE under TKO, it's becoming a nice surprise. Everybody was like afraid of, you know, them going into a new company. What's going to be happening? Could Vince get more power? Everybody was speculating. And, you know, people that don't really have any sources like myself, just kind of putting the, you know, the aura that WWE is going to be this new thing where nobody wants to go there anymore. But now, dude, TKO is letting Triple H do whatever, and it's a good thing. And right now, this deal is becoming more and more positive than negative on the side of WWE here. And, you know, there's a lot more other news, like with the whole ordeal with Chris Jericho on the morning of Christmas, but I'm not going to get into that. That's really not news to me. But there is one more set of news that I want to get on here before we do leave on this podcast. I believe, Sean Spears. This is according to Sean Ross Sapp here, a Fightful Select. They have reported that Sean Spears is the latest superstar to leave the company. At a time when AEW has lost some key names here behind the scenes, that's including Matt Jackson's wife. But, you know, I think that was just like more of a favor. Like, here you go, honey. Just, you know, come work with me. So, Sean Spears, QT Marshall, actually, that's what I wanted to go with. Brain fart. QT Marshall notably departed from the promotion after growing frustration built up. So Spears, he had been a part of the AEW roster since the promotion launched in 2019 after his WWE run as Ty Dillinger 10. Had to throw that in there. You know, where he got over with his 10-count gimmick. That's why I said that, though. He most notably feuded with Cody Rhodes in the early days of the promotion when AEW was first coming up, where he accidentally busted open the former AEW star with the chair shot spot to the head, which nobody ever sees anymore. He hasn't wrestled for the promotion since September on AEW All Out on 0 Hour, which is probably just like a dark match. His last match on Dynamite was in May of 2022. Holy shit. Now, this is another superstar that I think could either go to TNA or he could go down to NXT. People are saying that he would fit well with NXT, that it's, you know, like, because WWE, they want NXT to kind of be the third brand. They want to go back to what Triple H wanted to pursue his envision on NXT, what it could be, until Vince McMahon got grasp of it and kind of, like, threw it down the fucking toilet. So, I mean, I could see Sean Spears going to WWE NXT and kind of be that, kind of, you know, be that guy where, you know, these young guys that are coming up, they have to go through him. He can be like a nice superstar for the younger talent to go over on. But I can also see him go to TNA. I mean, I could see Mustafa Ali go to TNA. I could see a whole lot of other superstars go to TNA. Because I think TNA is on the uprise from... You know, ever since COVID happened, it's been nothing but a downward spiral for TNA Wrestling. But, you know, that's going to do it for me, guys. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Pipe Bomb here. I'm going to ease my way back into it. But if you guys liked what you heard, please give me that thumbs up and hit that subscribe button on any of my platforms that you are listening to on. Either Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. Not a lot of people like Google Podcast, but I do. Give me a thumbs up. Give me a negative 5-star review. I would greatly appreciate it. But until next time, guys, I will see you on the next one.